Acts chapter 5, verse 12. Acts 5, verse 12. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. "Go stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people all about this new life." At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked with the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were at a loss, wondering what this might lead to. Then someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people." At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are the witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that these men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do with these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go, for if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men, and you will only find yourselves fighting against God." His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Amen. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this scripture. Thank you for this message. And Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come and speak to us. And we want to fall deeper in love with you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I wanted to read this passage that talks about the persecution that the apostles received. This is really the second time that they're put in jail. So they're performing a lot of signs, and many people are turning to Jesus through the work of the apostles and through the work of Peter. And the high priests and the leaders, the Jewish leaders of that time, get jealous. All these people turning to Jesus Christ. So they put them in jail, and they basically persecution comes upon them. And, we just talked about blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for the sake of Jesus Christ. And this is what they're experiencing. And as I was meditating upon just the book of Acts and thinking about what I wanted to share about, it just dawned on me that these guys get persecuted, but as soon as they come out of jail, they go back to the exact thing that made them persecuted in the first place. And I thought it was so strange. In a few chapters later on, you read about Peter, who also is put in jail by King Herod. And by miraculous things, Peter, the angel comes to him at night, wakes Peter up, and the chains fall off. And the angel leads him out to the streets, and Peter goes back to the house where people are gathered to pray for him. And I was thinking the natural thing for us to do, the natural thing for any person that went through suffering for a cause, for something like that. If you were in Peter's shoes, a natural thing would be, I need a break. This is crazy. I'm getting persecuted. I was in jail for a few nights and I was almost going to be killed, James, the brother of John, was recently killed and I think I'm going to get killed and I'm just going to lay low for a while. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to take it easy. And, I think it'll be easy for him to say, oh, I think I deserve a break. I think I deserve some time off to recuperate. But that's not the attitude of the apostles. And I just thought, what goes on in their hearts? That these apostles, they're put in jail. And, the angel brings them out. And the angel commands them to go to the temple and stand there and preach. So maybe that had something to do with it. But what goes on in their hearts that they're put in jail and they come out, and the first thing they do when they come out of jail is they go back to the temple and they start teaching, which is the exact reason why they were put in jail in the first place. And for us, I think it's difficult to think in terms of this, because none of us go through this kind of persecution. So I'll give you just an example, a thought that I had in my own mind, and please don't judge me, for what I'm about to share with you. But this morning, as I was coming over to church, I was in a taxi cab because got up late. And I was thinking to myself, I preached yesterday at EMP. I'm preaching today at EMP. I think I deserve a day off tomorrow. that's just the thought that went in my head. In my head, I was like, it's inconvenience here and hard work here. Tomorrow, maybe I won't show up. Maybe I'll just sleep in. And just it's just natural for us. I think if we were to go through an experience that was just very difficult, you did something for God, I don't know, let's say you go on an outreach and it's just very difficult. Let's say you go to Shanti or some other time and you just go and it's just very difficult. It's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of suffering. You come back from it, you're like, damn, I'm not going to go back there again. That sucked, Natural for us to think that way, But then I was thinking about this message, and as in the taxi cab, I'm like thinking to myself, oh, yesterday, today, you know, maybe I'll take a day off tomorrow. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, like, this is what I'm talking about. This whole attitude of, it's always about me. I'm always looking for ways to make my life more convenient. I'm always looking for ways to make my life more comfortable, to make my life easier. But the apostles, that was not their main concern. I mean, if their concern was, how do I make my life easier? How do I make my life more comfortable and convenient? They would not go back to the temple and preach about Jesus and come back from it getting flogged for doing that and then rejoicing because they were counted worthy to suffer disgrace for this name. You know? I mean, if their concern is, man, I just want an easy life. I want a happy life. I want a comfortable, convenient life. Then why bother with this, you know? But there was something else that was driving them. There was something else that was driving them. So, question for myself, and I guess for us today, is what's driving your life, you know? Is it just your desire to be convenient and comfortable and have a good, easy life? Or is it really Christ that compels you, that drives you, to live your life for Him? And I was thinking about, you know, what is it that's going on in their hearts? And one of the things, I think, is they're just imitating how Jesus lived His life, right? Because they were disciples of Jesus. They were with Him for 3 years. And if we read through the Gospels, Jesus was the same way, you know? Jesus was not concerned about, man, I want my life to be easy, comfortable, and just kind of, just a nice life to live, you know? He had a mission. He had a vision and a purpose for His life. And if you read through the Gospels, many times Jesus is ministering, and He's tired, and then He goes away to someplace solitary. So He's going to find some rest. He's going to spend some time with God. But the people hear about it, and they just follow Jesus. And it says Jesus was filled with compassion. He does ministry again. And His whole life He was giving and giving. And he wasn't concerned so much about, oh, I'm tired, or I want my life to be a little bit comfortable. I deserve a break. And I think the disciples, have seen this. And so when they are regenerated and transformed by the Holy Spirit, they're just mimicking how Jesus lived His life and just following their master. And, we are also Christians, right? Little Christ. We're also disciples. And not only are the apostles living a life not concerned with themselves, but living for the sake of God and the mission of God and Christ, but the one that we call Lord and Master, that's the way He lived His life when He was on earth, right? He wasn't concerned so much about, you know, what's easy. He was concerned about what needed to be done, what glorified God, what was the work of God that He wanted done. And I think our perspective, my perspective, needs to change. Maybe I'm preaching to myself, but I think all of us are like this. My perspective needs to change, where I'm not the focus of my life. You know, my comfort and my whatever, you know, my well-being even, is not the focus and the goal of my life, but the goal should be Christ. And I think the second thing is, I'm just meditating on it, and second thing must be love. You know, in Matthew 10, Jesus says to His followers, He says, if anyone loves their father or mother more than Me is not worthy of Me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than Me is not worthy of Me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow Me is not worthy of Me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for My sake will find it. And Jesus kind of talks about this motivation of love. And these disciples, they must have loved Christ so dearly. You know, they must have been so filled with passion and love for Christ that everything else was put aside for the sake of Christ. And that's what he calls us to as well. You know, that we would love Christ more than our own lives, more than our own well-being, and that we would follow him to the point of death, you know. And that's not an easy message, but I think that's what we were talking about, persecution. Yesterday, I mean, last Sunday, Pastor Eugene, I think he said something like, I don't want to butcher his words, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he said something like a real Christian, like a persecution is the litmus test for your faith, you know, whether you're a true follower of Christ or not. And maybe today what I want to focus on, what I'm saying is just our willingness to suffer for God, maybe, you know, our willingness to lay down our own comfort and our own selfish, self-centered concerns for God. Maybe that's also a litmus test for are we a true disciple or not. So, very simple message, and Jeff is going to come and lead us in a time of worship. But let's just let's go to God about that. Let's just focus on the disciples, you know. Think about that, how they come out of jail and they go straight back to the temple and they start preaching the gospel again. And they're not so much concerned about their own, you know, convenience and comfort and well-being. And how does that apply in your own life, you know? Where are the areas where you're just more concerned about your own self, where Christ might be asking you to do something else? So let's just go before the Lord. Holy Spirit, I thank you for this time. I'm just challenged by this story, God, and this example, Lord, that the apostles give us in the book of Acts. And, you know, I repent, Father, that more often than not, you know, I'm more concerned about making my life better, making my life easier. Not necessarily concerned about what you're saying or what you're calling me to do. And I pray that we would all be stirred in our hearts, God, with a love for you. And that we would follow the example that you have given us, Jesus. And that we would follow you. So thank you, God. I love you.
Lead me to the cross. as I am tempted and trialed. Human, the Word became flesh, bore my sin and death. Now you're risen, and everything I once held dear, I count it all as lost. And lead me to the cross where your love poured out, and bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me, lead me to the cross. To your heart, lead me to your heart, lead me to your heart, lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Oh, lead me. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me.
Thank you, God. Thank you for, thank you for the cross. That's a real example, God, of not putting, self-interest at first, but really just being obedient, even to the point of suffering, to the will of God. And so help us to do that also in our own lives, God. That we wouldn't put our own interests first as priority, but God, that we would be willing to lay those things down and follow you. And I pray that we would be compelled by the love that we have for you, God. So Holy Spirit, come and move in our hearts, move in our lives today. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to our prayer focus, our community prayer. Let's pray for our family members struggling with cancer and chemo, waiting for the bypass, the transplant. Let's just pray for God's breakthrough, and let's pray for strength in this time. And let's just lift them up. Let's pray for them with love and faith and fervency in our hearts. Let's pray together. Let's go to the second slide. Let's pray for various people that are going through illnesses, but also in need of salvation, spiritual salvation. Let's pray for God's mercy. Let's pray for healing, physical healing, as well as spiritual healing. So let's just pray for them. Let's lift them up. Let's go to the third slide. Let's pray for various infirmities that our church members and their family members are suffering from. Let's pray for healing to come and strength and encouragement. Let's pray together. Let's go to the fourth slide. Let's pray for our community members that need to find a job. Let's pray for God's breakthrough. Let's pray for God's favor. Let's pray for encouragement in this time, that in the waiting they will not be discouraged, but they'll be able to hear from God in this time and really grow in this time. So let's lift up our friends on this list. Let's go to our Wednesday prayer focus. Let's pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for our friends Grace and Ashley. They're at Bloom. Let's pray for Ruth and Murray. They're the leaders of Bloom as well. Let's pray for that organization. Let's pray for Pastor O and his ministry in Cambodia, and also New Life Church and Pastor Tang, who is our contact for the worship conference. So let's bless that church as well. They're one of the largest churches in Phnom Penh. So let's pray that God will move in this nation and use these different organizations for His glory. So let's lift up this topic. Let's pray for our board. Pray for P. Sam again, please. He's still, I think, suffering from the migraine. So he missed yesterday and today. Let's pray for healing. Let's continue to press in. You know, let's pray with faith and pray with perseverance that God will bring healing to his body. And pray for the rest of the board that they will be able to trust God and hear from God and bless their personal lives as well, their work and their family, their friends, and that they'll be filled with joy. So let's lift up our board. Let's pray for men and women's ministry. Let's pray for God's guidance and that they'll be able to have wisdom and be able to find creative ways to really help our men and our women bond together. So let's lift up men and women's ministries. Pray for SP 2.0, a new building that we've been praying about, and a possible donor. You know, we have received a prophetic word that a donor would come that will be able to really provide for the church. So let's just pray in faith in response to that. And let's pray that not only that we would get the new building and land, but that as a church we would really be ready and really aligned to God's vision for this church. So let's just pray for our church in this area as SP 2.0. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our Wednesday house churches. Let's pray that they'll have an awesome time. Pray for the leaders and just a great time of discussion and fellowship, worship, and just meeting together. So let's lift up our house churches. Let's lift up the Philippines team. They're coming back tomorrow. So let's pray that they will have just a really fruitful day today. Pray for protection and compassion and love and the heart of God to be in their hearts. And just an effective and meaningful, significant time for them. So let's lift up our Philippines team. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word, and thank you for this time of prayer. Thank you that you hear our prayers, God. And Holy Spirit, continue to remind us of your truth, remind us of your word. And today I pray that we'll be able to think about you as we go about our day, and that we would bring joy to your heart in our thought life, in our actions, in our speech. And thank you for giving us this day. And we want to worship you, God, right now. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.